KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Chris Fiorentino, and I want to thank you for joining us this morning. I'm really excited to welcome our guest today, Mr. Paul DeRussi, who's the former Director of Development for the Division of Student Affairs at Fresno State, Ms. Aaliyah Wolf, a career development staff member here at Fresno State, and Ariane Murphy, a current student. Thank you all for being here today. Today, we get to talk about something that's really closely parallels my own history at Fresno State and a program we're all very proud of, the Mark and Marjorie Radin Community Service Scholarship Program. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, my background and work with Alita and Paul, it's kind of how I cut my teeth in higher education student services. I went to work for Paul and Alita back in the late 1980s. That sounds a long time ago, right?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Yeah. We've known each other for about 30 years, and I've learned a lot from both of these folks, so I'm really excited they're going to be here today. Now, we could spend a whole lot of time teasing and retelling stories, and Paul is one of the funniest people you ever met, and so we're going to try and stay on track here and talk specifically about this community service scholarship program and the history of it. So, Paul, let's start with you. You talk a little bit about the Radin Scholarship Program, and in particular, we really can't talk about that program unless we talk first about Mark and Marge Radin. They ended up being very close friends of yours, so tell us a little about these two really incredible individuals.
Okay, well, my first contact with the Radin Foundation actually came in 1989, I think, when I was supervising the Student Employment Office and the co-op program at Fresno State, Cooperative Education or Internship Program, to put it more clearly. At any rate, I got a call from the University Development Director who told me that he had a, and I'm going to put this in quotes, an elderly donor who had some ideas, vague ideas about funding some sort of internship program. Anyway, the development director didn't know much more than that, but he thought I might be a good person to bring along to a meeting, a lunch meeting, and I could help him clarify the donor's ideas and maybe help him follow up with a proposal. So I agreed, and when I first arrived at the restaurant, that was the first time I met Mark Radin. And I remember thinking very clearly at that day when I looked at the man, there's nothing quote-unquote elderly about this gentleman. He had a quick step, quicker than me, actually. His eyes literally twinkled, and he was absolutely articulate and very precise in telling me what he wanted. He told me that he and his wife Marjorie wanted to establish a program that would not only provide students with career-related experience, but they would also like to find a way to instill in our students a passion for making our community a better place to live. And I later learned that Mark and Marjorie were philanthropists, that they were involved in so many different aspects of the community. They did hands-on involvement. They just didn't give their money. They gave their time. And I think they realized that as their generation moved on, we really needed to look at the new generation of young people to take their place, to not only be leaders in business, industry, government, and education, but people who would also have an appreciation for the needs of our region and for serving others. And so with that, the Community Service Scholarship Program actually was born. I know Chris and Alita, both of you were there when we wrote the proposal, yeah. And we basically structured a program that placed students in career-related experiences with nonprofit agencies. And we structured the work experiences, and I know Alita did a great job doing this because she was our job developer, but we structured those experiences so that they would actually qualify for upper division academic credit. Students did 200 hours, I believe, when we first started the program. And the first semester, we had 10 students, and we required they do reflection papers. Tell us what you did. What did you learn? How did that impact others? We also asked the community agencies to do assessments on whether or not the students actually helped them. And I got to tell you, those 10 students wrote excellent papers, and the reviews from the agencies were absolutely stellar. I couldn't have been more pleased. I shared those with Mark and Marjorie Radin, and Mark immediately said, let's fund it again. Let's do 15 students next year.
Yeah.
So it went from 15 to 20 to 25 and on and on and on. And when John Welty arrived at campus in 1990, I believe, he called me and he said he wanted to meet the Radins because he said he had heard so much about this program. And he said, I don't know if you know it or not, but this program is on the cutting edge of a national movement. And so the rest we can talk about. But yeah. Dr. Welty got directly involved.
I remember one thing in particular about the Radins. Not only were they just really just down to earth, very nice people, you would never know meeting them and being around them that they had any money at all. They were, right. It wasn't that they were stingy or paupers by any stretch. They just never acted like they had a lot of money. They were so down to earth. So the initial donation, there were, what, 2 or 3 years that they made initial donations, and then they established this endowment. Can you tell us a little about the endowment?
Yeah, this is kind of a funny story. Mark Radin, you know, I told him, Mark, Dr. Welty just loves this program, and I shared with him some of Dr. Welty's comments. He said, well, if he likes the program so much, then he should be able to contribute to it as well and match my donation with university money. So he said, Paul, why don't you schedule a lunch with Dr. Welty and we'll talk about it. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, here's this new president on campus and he's asking me to schedule a lunch where he's going to ask the president for money. So I did, but I explained to Dr. Welty what the situation was. He says, oh, fine, don't worry about it. Let's meet. So we were at the restaurant and Mark asked him to match his funds. And Dr. Welty said, well, you know, I really can't do that because we actually have most of our funds are committed to other kinds of things, and we can't take scholarship money from one fund to another. But, Mark, he says, I know how you can make this a strong and a permanent program. And Mark said, well, how's that? And Dr. Welty said, you can start an endowment. Well, I could see Mark turn flush red. He said, what do you mean an endowment? How much is that going to cost me? And John said, I think $500,000 might be a good start. I thought Mr. Radin was going to fall off his chair. And so we finished our lunch. Mark had said, I don't think this will work. You know, I'm just going to have to think about it. And that's how kind of we left that meeting. So on the way back to campus, I'm thinking, this new president just essentially chased my donor away, and I'm not going to have this program anymore. Anyway, I got back to my office and my message light was blinking. And so I hit the recall the message and it was Mark Radin. And he wanted to know if he had to pay the $500,000 in one lump sum or could he do it in increment. So I learned a lot that day about fundraising and about asking. But he was glad to do it. We did $500,000 and then he completed that. He asked Dr. Welty, well, what's next? Dr. Welty said, let's go to $1 million. Mark took it to $1 million, and now we have an endowment that continues to place students in the community service scholarship program, get them out in the community, and make a difference.
So since the mid-90s, approximately, this has been spinning off funds from the endowment,
exactly.
and that interest from the endowment is what is used to pay the student a scholarship, along with a match from the agency. And I want to talk a little bit more about how that works. Alita, tell us, what is the current status of the program in terms of how much are students earning when they do one of these scholarships? How many hours do they work? That kind of thing.
Right. As Paul mentioned in the beginning, they did 200 hours and they earned a $1,000 scholarship. And of course, the cost of living has gone up tremendously.
Minimum wage has gone up tremendously.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. So we had different rates over time, but it's been for a while now where students typically volunteer 150 hours and they receive $1,500 scholarships. We do have half scholarships, though, where students do 75 hours and then they receive a $750 scholarship.
Okay.
And that works for shorter internships, but the majority of the positions are 150 hours, and that fits along really nicely with the academic settings and the academic requirements that they do earn credit. As Paul mentioned, yes, they still have to go through the process where they do their hours. Some of them get credit through your program, Community Service 101, and others get credit in their internship in their departments. So we have to stay with that 150 hours to kind of meet the academic requirements.
Mm-hmm.
We might be thinking about raising that scholarship. That's something to be determined because,
minimum wage
is going up, right? But at this point, it's 150 hours for $1,500 mainly.
Okay. and about how many students are in the program this last year, as an example?
This last year, I believe we had 68.
Okay.
In the program. Since the beginning, it's been about 1,750.
Wow, so 1,750 students.
Right, right.
And what a legacy. Yeah.
So it's been a really a big impact in this community. As Paul mentioned, we started with 10 and now we're typically it's 45 to 50 students a year. And I anticipate that staying similar because the endowment earned so much interest and then you have to spread that out. So yeah and we always have to a little cushion.
And the agencies match. So of the $1,500, the agency puts in 750, correct?
Correct.
And the endowment matches 750.
Right.
There are a few times where I think the endowment has paid the whole amount, but almost always it's a match situation.
Right. It's a match. And that's what the community benefit organizations understand. It's a match. Right.
And so they have skin in the game, so to speak. The university is really providing those agencies with a real great resource to be able to pull a student in, have them do a significant number of hours. And these are major related or career related. They have connections to the student's career or major, correct?
Correct, right. They develop skills that are necessary for them to be successful when they graduate, right?
Paraprofessional kinds of experiences, getting the students ready for their
careers. We call them volunteers, but they're interns in most cases. They do it more for the experience, and the money is definitely a bonus, right? But it's the experience that's really beneficial to them.
So pretty quickly after this program got started, it got some awards and some national attention. What was the attention outside of the university in terms of state or national recognitions?
Well, I know statewide, I remember Paul and I were involved in an organization at that time whose name is now California Internship and Work Experience Association. And we both served on the board for a number of years. And I stayed on after Paul retired, et cetera. But in that organization, they have awards for outstanding student experiences as well as outstanding college and university programs. And so our program received an award from that organization. And the organization basically is involved in supporting internship and work experience programs in higher education. So it's a statewide organization. And I know Paul went to the conference and accepted the award on behalf of our program. And I remember he had it on his desk for years. Is that right, Paul? Do you know what that is now? Or But you had it on your desk for a long time.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's probably still on my desk.
Okay. So that was one of the first awards I think we received for the program.
Well, we also, I just want to add, Chris, after I left the Career Services Department, I went to work as a development director for student affairs. And I submitted the concept to the National Association for Advancement and Support of Education. And it actually won the award at the International Conference in Toronto.
Okay.
It won the Gold Medal of Excellence Award. And again, this is all based on the Raiden vision and program. I take no ownership in that. It wasn't us. It was them.
So statewide recognition, national recognition, international recognition, and certainly local as well.
And let me also say that the program was duplicated at a number of other campuses throughout the CSU and beyond.
I think Arizona State. There were several others.
There were several others. When Dr. Welty said the program's on the cutting edge of a national movement, back in 1990, the term service learning wasn't really known, at least here. And it was just beginning to blossom. And that's where we all, as educators, were realizing that our students need to graduate not only with experience through internships so they could hit the ground running in their various careers, but also with the ability, the passion, and the skills to address the needs in our community.
Yeah. So 1,750 students have come through this program now. Alita, well, what's the total number of scholarships given out then? Do we know that?
Dollars you're talking about or
dollars.
Hours? So basically, if you add that up, it's about 240,000 community service hours.
Wow.
It's a lot of time, huh? A lot of commitment.
Almost a quarter million hours in this one program.
Right. And I estimate it's about $1.9 million that has been distributed to students as scholarship.
And for our student body, almost 70% of our students are first-generation students, first generation in their family to go to college. Many, many of them, I think 60 or 70% are Pell eligible or get some money from financial aid. So that's money that if they didn't have that money, they'd either have to get a regular job that would take them away from their studies and their professional development, or they wouldn't be able to attend college because they can't afford it otherwise.
Correct.
So that funding is really important to our students as well.
Right. And I think that's why the Raidens were so passionate about it, because they know that the volunteerism and community service is important, but it takes you away from working. So if you're just volunteering, it makes it challenging to pay for tuition no matter what it is at the time you go to school, right?
Yeah.
So the scholarship helped to keep them, you know, out there in the community doing good by giving them some award for doing that.
So speaking of our students, Ariane, you've been sitting here very patiently, and I want to bring you in. Tell us about yourself. How'd you get to Fresno State? What are you studying here? That kind of thing.
Okay, so my name is Ariane Murphy. I am 22 years old, and I am a soon-to-be graduating senior at Fresno State, three classes away from my degree in public health, healthcare administration with a minor in communication. So I came to Fresno State. It was the first school to accept me, and I said, I will go to the first college that accepts me, and I just went on a limb. I'm not from here. I'm from Riverside County, Paris, California, so a small rural area. And I just went on a limb. I don't have family out here, but education brought me here, and I think I made the best decision.
And we're happy you're here.
Thank you.
So when did you originally hear about this Community Service Scholarship Program?
Okay, so I needed an internship. I was like, I've been in college for almost 4 years. I have not gotten an internship. I've gotten a lot of knowledge, but I have not applied that knowledge yet. So I went on the number one resource to any Fresno State student, so Hire Fresno State. I went on that website. I started looking through. They do have a lot of jobs for graduates and a lot of jobs for people that are looking for permanent full-time positions. But I wanted, like I said, an internship. So I started looking through, and I saw a huge title that said Community Service Scholarship Program. And I was like, that sounds like something I need to be a part of.
Yeah.
So I clicked on that. I read all the instructions and things that you have to do to qualify, and it was a program that definitely fitted my needs. So I went ahead and I applied, went for it, and got accepted.
Great. Mm-hmm. And you ended up going to work for the Alzheimer's Association here in Fresno, correct?
Yes.
What did you do there?
So I got hired on as an outreach intern.
Okay.
So my responsibility was to do all outreach that surrounded their annual walk to end Alzheimer's. So that's something that they do every year here at Fresno, or they did it at Fresno State for the last 2 years, but anywhere in the Fresno location. And from there, I was working under Bobby Sharton, and she had just got hired with the organization as a special event manager. So this was just as new to her as it was new to me. So she definitely took me under her wing with her prior experience, and it was a lot to get done. One event, and it was a lot of logistics behind that event. So I was not only reaching out to walk participants, making sure all the team captains had all the materials they needed, but I was also handling a lot of business communication through emails over the phone, reaching out to huge companies like Pepsi, Walmart, Yogurtland, trying to get them to give us in-kind donations to make sure that we had all the materials, food, and beverages for the walk and the walk participants.
So obviously related to your minor in communication, but also because of your public health major, being involved with an agency that addresses a major health issue across our nation and world, Alzheimer's. So what do you think you gained from this experience? You put in 150 hours. It's a lot of time for a student.
Yes, definitely.
You're studying. You're in your senior year. You're probably doing a lot of your major's courses and trying to wrap things up. What do you think you got out of this internship specifically?
More than just experience, it made me start gauging my thoughts into professionalism. What do I have to do to be the professional that I want to be? What do I have to do to pursue my career goals and to one day be in the position as the woman I were working under and the people that they were working for? So I definitely got a better understanding of what it is that I want to do on a personal and a professional level, and also communication. I got so many contacts with a lot of people that own companies, agricultural farm owners, and things like that. I've got a lot of connections. So that was definitely one of the best benefits and a part of the experience.
So that professional experience, that networking, you mentioned about you've learned a lot since you've been here at Fresno State in your classes, but you never had a chance to apply that outside of the classroom. Did it in some way or another make the book knowledge come alive for you?
Definitely. I felt like the difference between this was I was also attaining knowledge, but being able to use that knowledge at the same time. So I was doing things that I had never done before. So in class, you're getting all the information right, and you're just jotting it down in a notebook, and you better hope that you read those notes when they're needed at some point. But this time, I'm writing notes down, and the next day, I'm using those same skills, that same knowledge, to make something happen, to give back to the community, to show them that, I'm an intern, but please let me, you know, do what I have to do. So it was definitely
wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think you benefited the agency, the Alzheimer's Association here in Fresno? I mean, this is a big fundraiser. You guys probably raised a lot of money from that walk.
Mm-hmm. I would say me being a student is what benefited the organization, because we had to have volunteers, we had to have sponsors and things like that. So I feel like me as a student, having that connection to Fresno State and the students of Fresno State is what helped them accomplish their overall goal and their overall vision for the walk.
So you were recruiting other volunteers, other students to be involved?
Yeah, okay. I actually did the volunteer fair here at Fresno State, and I did the volunteer fair at Fresno City College.
Okay.
So we tabled for about 4 hours just as students walk past. And these students are looking for community service hours for their classes and their courses and ways to get involved. So we had about 150 volunteers.
Okay.
Plus a few extra that we didn't have.
And you were responsible for recruiting a lot of those. Mm-hmm. So impressive. Alita, Ariane had a lot of experiences that must be similar to other students. You're working with all of these students. What other benefits do you hear from students that they gain?
Well, I think from what we see and what I read, because I get to read all their, you know, evaluations, right? So I know some of the things you mentioned already, but, you know, learning more about their field or industry. So what can I do with this degree? How can I apply this degree? So by going out in the community and seeing what that's like, taking that kind of like career exploration, basically, as you already said, applying knowledge learned in the classroom, gaining valuable work experience. I've seen some students who've never worked before. They've only done clubs maybe and not really have work. So this is a chance for them to get an experience of getting out there and sort of seeing what it's like to, in a sense, it's volunteer, but it's work. As Ariane could tell you, I'm sure it was a lot of work. So getting that experience that they can actually put on their resume and show an employer down the road that they built skills, not just in school and such, but out there in the real world. And then sometimes even deciding if this is the right direction for me, because sometimes students go out there and they think they want to be a teacher, for instance, and they go out there and they tutor and they went, whoa, I don't think I have the patience. I had no idea that you needed to be a saint to do this, you know. And so it's also not just learning what you can do and what you like to do, but maybe, you know, it could be a wake-up call for some students that haven't really applied what they, you know, they might have a dream, but they don't know if that dream's really reality yet. So that is really helpful. And then building those skills, and I think, you know, Ariane mentioned some of these, but transferable skills that she can use in various careers. So
regardless of the career, communication
skills, exactly.
Leadership skills.
Right. Yep. Communication, critical thinking, leadership, initiative, teamwork. I'm sure we can go on and on. Decision-making, self-confidence. I think self-confidence to me is one of the biggest transferable skills students learn from these experiences. And I've read a lot of these evaluations on a lot of students' essays. And just to give you a couple here, I know one student said in her essay that I become more confident in the work I do and my abilities. This confidence will help me in my academic development. So we always think about confidence of working and volunteering, but bringing that confidence back to school and applying that back to your schooling to see, oh, what I'm learning does matter. It does make a difference. And discovering that this is the career path that I want to continue to follow. So a student said that the skills I learned, including writing lesson plans and being creative, will help me in my future to be a better teacher when I graduate. You know, these are just a couple of comments. I mean, I've had hundreds of essays and hundreds, but, you know, they all boil down to so many traits that they can take with them, and including, like you said, Ariane said, networking and building contacts and those types of things. So a lot of good stuff that they're developing.
And in the couple of minutes that we have left, obviously these students are out doing thousands of hours every year. The agencies have got to be benefiting as well. What do you hear from the agencies?
Right. And I remember Paul mentioned that first group of students and then their comments by the agencies. I still think the majority of our supervisors rate students' overall performance as exceeds expectations or outstanding. Sometimes it's meets expectations, but the majority is definitely exceeds or outstanding. I hardly had any supervisor ever say that this is a negative. I never want to do this again. You know, these students bring such fresh energy and opinions and dedication that we've had a lot of agencies come back for years doing this, supporting other students in this program. So
Paul, anything to add to that?
Well, I just want to say that it was my experience that many of our students, like Ariane, they're fantastic. And I just have to congratulate you, Ariane, for your passion and your enthusiasm. They've ended up volunteering for their agencies, many of them long past that 150 hours. Many of them have gone to work for the agencies that they volunteered for. So I think Mark and Marjorie Raden's vision has come to fruition in ways we could never really realize back in 1989 or 1990. I just want to say the Radens passed away in 2002 within a few weeks of each other, but their legacy, it lives on through the Raden Foundation, certainly through the Community Service Scholarship Program, the H. Mark Marcus Raden Conference Center, and the Marjorie Raden Breast Cancer Clinic, both at community medical centers in Clovis, as well as many other nonprofit agencies throughout our community.
And through these students,
and
like Ariane. So
I just couldn't be more pleased with the results of this. And I know Mark and Marjorie Raden would be as happy as they could be.
Yeah, I agree. I wish we had more time to talk about this program and hear more about some of the benefits, but unfortunately our time is up for today. I just really want to thank you all for being here. Thank you, Paul DeRussi, Alita Wolf, Ariane Murphy. It's been a really enjoyable time with you today. And thank you to our listening audience for joining us this morning. Please join us again next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for another Fresno State Service in Action program on KFSR. Also, please like us on Facebook at FS Service in Action. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.